Take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 9, and you're looking for verse number 16. Isaiah chapter 9, find verse number 16, and once you find it, would you stand with me, please? Isaiah chapter 9, starting with verse number 16. Earlier today, I mentioned to you the title. It's called Wickedness is Like a Fire. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 16, the Bible says this, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting of the smoke." As you can see in verse number 18, right at the beginning of the verse, we get the concept, if you will, for this evening's sermon, where it says, "For wickedness burneth as a fire." Father, bless us. Lord, may my mind deliver and my mouth deliver the sermon appropriately. I don't want to shortchange you, first of all, and certainly I don't want to shortchange these folks. God, take the sermon and use it. Use it to encourage us. Use it to help us and many others. Now, help the interruptions to be minimized here this evening. We're excited about church. We're excited about the coming conference. But God, now we need to concentrate on the sermon from your word. I pray that we would listen, that we'd open our hearts, and let the Bible make us better. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Fire is mentioned often throughout the Bible. And fire can be good, and in some instances it can be bad, spiritually as well as in life. Of course, there's the fire from heaven that destroyed the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah, found in Genesis chapter 19, verse number 24. There is the fire that Abraham built on which to please God in the possible sacrificing of his son Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 7. There's that burning bush and the fire from it which Moses received his call to the ministry. That's found in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 2. There was a pillar of fire by night that God used to lead the children of Israel, found in Exodus chapter 13, verse number 21. There's the fire that appeared on Mount Sinai when God delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses in Exodus chapter 19, verse number 18. There's the fire that was ordered by Moses to destroy the golden calf that went against those Ten Commandments, found in Exodus chapter 39, verse number 20. There is the judgment fire that consumed the rebellion of Korah and 250 of his followers for their disloyalty to Moses, the man of God, in Numbers chapter 16, verse number 35. There's the fire that was ordered by Joshua to destroy Jericho in Joshua 6:24, and the fire that came from heaven on Mount Carmel for Elijah for the proving of the false prophets and the false prophets being wrong. And you read about it in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 38. The Bible talks about chariots of fire that transported Elijah to heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And then the burning fiery furnace that could not hurt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 25. There will be fire present at the judgment seat of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. As you can see, fire can be both good and bad. We fight the bad fire. We enjoy the good fire. In John chapter 18, there's a story that is familiar to most of you. Jesus had lived 33 and a half sinless years as our Savior and our God. He is with his disciples and they're praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter is there. Jesus had been betrayed by Judas. Judas had told the soldiers where Jesus could be found. The enemy comes and takes Jesus away. Soon, Jesus would face a mock trial. Soon, Jesus would face his beating. Soon, Jesus would face the crucifixion. As they drag Jesus away, the Bible says that Peter is following afar off. That just spiritually pictures that Jesus is, that Peter is distancing himself from Jesus. Well, you find in John chapter 18, verse number 25, you find that Simon Peter is standing and warming himself by a fire. A fire. We would refer to it as the enemy's fire, or some call it the devil's fire. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, the people standing around, they inquired with Peter while Peter was warming himself by that fire. They said, are you not one of his disciples? And Peter denied. He said, no. They said, didn't we see you with him? And Peter said, no. And Peter actually denies. He lies and he cusses. I'll promise you, that was not the Lord's fire that he was cussing around. It was the devil's fire that he was cussing around. Now, historically, we then call it the devil's fire. Now, if you were listening earlier when we read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 18, you've seen the words, for wickedness burneth as a fire. And God is saying here, there is a bad fire, and it's not started with matches. It is wickedness that is a fire. There is a fire that burns up good things, but it's not doused by the fire extinguisher, if you will. It is wickedness that is like a fire. There's an arsonist who does not use gasoline or a Bic lighter to start his fire. It's a devil, and there is a wickedness that he spreads, and that fire is a consuming fire. I got to thinking, if all that be true, and it is, Twin Rivers Baptist Church is a fire station. We're a fire station. Our church buses are fire engines. Captains, that'll make it fun next week. You still have to stop at the stop sign, though. The Bible, that's that hose or water that can extinguish the fire. Soul winning. I guess you can all be fire extinguishers, if you will. The congregation, you get to be firemen. I think the sermons are like sirens crying aloud, trying to fight the fire. Our church services could be meeting of the fire board, and Satan is the arsonist. And we're fighting that fire. Wickedness is like a fire. I don't know how much you watch the news, but in Colorado right now, there are 54,000 acres that are being burnt up by wildfires. Oh, how sad. And it will get some news, but I have worse news than that. The wickedness in America is burning more spiritual territory than a literal fire is burning in Colorado. The Bible says that there is this thing called wickedness, and it's a wildfire, and it's destroying our country. The sermon is simple. It's called Wickedness is Like a Fire. First of all, might I say to you, I believe that arsonist called the devil is trying to burn the Word of God. He's trying to burn the Word of God. In Jeremiah 36, verse 23, it says, and it came to pass that when Jehoiada had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire. Let me tell you the story. Jeremiah had delivered to the king the written word of God, and it told of the evil of that king and that kingdom. It told the king to get right with God. You know what the king did? He reached into his pocket. He pulled his pocket knife out. He cut the part of the Bible he didn't like out of the Bible and cast it into the fire. You know something? You say, wow, that's crazy. There are the people that fiddle with the Bible all the time that go cutting out what they don't like. Your Bible changers, the ones that don't believe in the purity of the Bible. That's happening in America. America is actually trying to burn certain parts out of the Bible. Let me tell you something, folks. That's the Word of God. I hold before you the King James Bible, the pure Word of God. Look, America, we're making such mistakes. We kick God and prayer out of the public school. That's just like burning that part of the Bible, its influence, out of our country. We don't like the Ten Commandments, so we want to burn that part of the Bible. Hey, we say our pledge. You know, there are people that want to take those words about this being one nation under God. They're trying to take those words out of our national anthems and out of our pledges. What are they doing? They're trying to burn those words out of the conscience of America. They're trying to burn those words out of the Bible. Well, at this church, we believe and preach the old black book. And we will continue to. Wickedness is like a fire. Listen, Hitler tried to burn the Bible and get rid of it, but he didn't. There are more today than there ever was back then. It doesn't matter how much people try to destroy the purity of the Bible and try to make it as if there are 10 or 12 Bibles out there. There is one that God has preserved in the English language. It's the old King James Bible. We believe that. You've heard that over and over and over again. It's nothing new to anybody in here. But I do want you to know, I think the arsonist called the devil is trying to burn the Bible. Not only that, I think the arsonist called the devil is trying to burn our churches. Trying to burn our churches. Jeremiah 52 verse 13, it says, "And burned the house of the Lord." Let me tell you the story. King Zedekiah had been conquered by the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon sent the captain of his guard to burn down the church, and they actually torched God's house in that story. Y'all remember back a couple years ago across some southern states, they were burning churches. They were burning churches. Let me tell you something. I don't think that's an uh-oh or an accident. People are trying to burn the local New Testament church. And I've told you this before. It doesn't hurt for me to tell you again. It says Baptist out there on the sign. That's what we are. That's not our preference. That's our conviction. And if that's not what you are, you're better off finding a place where you fit in. But we're an old-fashioned Baptist church. The devil hates that. The devil hates churches that are fighting the fire of wickedness. Churches that preach the truth. Churches that have souls being saved. Churches that teach holy living. You know, many churches that are supposed to be firehouses have turned into social centers. That they are having a bunch of entertainment rather than preaching. You know, we'll have music and we'll have cantatas and we'll have things around here. But folks, nothing will ever take the preeminent spot of the preaching of the Word of God. That's what we came for. Look, if every fun program around here had to get closed down as long as this black book is being taught and preached, you ought to show up for church. But you know what people are looking for? They're looking to be entertained. They're looking to be entertained. We're not in the entertainment business. We're in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God business. But the old devil, he's wanting to burn them churches down. It happened in the Bible. It'll happen in our day. Many people, I believe this, I think some people have virtually torched the importance of church attendance in their own lives. You need to be in church. They burn their respect for God's house. Listen, does your lack of attendance to God's house flame the fires that are trying to burn down the influence? And when I say the local New Testament church, I wish some of you actually understood what that means. We are a local New Testament church. We're not attached to a denomination, nor do we want to be. We're not going to attach ourselves to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that calls themselves a ministry out there. We are an independent, fundamental Baptist church with no apology about the King James Bible. But the devil, he doesn't like that. He'd like to burn that Bible. So any Bible will do. No, any Bible won't do. And he would like to burn that. So any church will do. No, any church won't do. Did you hear about good old Fred, the fireman? He's a Christian fireman, and he had suffered from fighting a fire smoke inhalation, and he had gone into the hospital. His wonderful pastor was there and near his bed. While there, suddenly old Fred, his condition worsened, and he was gasping for air, and he frantically signaled to the pastor for a pen and paper, and the pastor handed him a pen and paper, and Fred couldn't even talk, and Fred scribbled a little note. About that time, them beepers and monitors went off, and the doctors and everybody ran in, and they were working on Fred, and the doctor said, "You need to step out." And the pastor stepped away, and he thought, "I want to look at the note right now." He stuck it in his pocket, and Fred passed away. Well, they had Fred's funeral, and the pastor was preaching the funeral, and he got all done. He got all done with the funeral, and he remembered he had the sport coat on at the funeral that he had on when he was at Fred's room, and he remembered that note that Fred gave him. And so he reached into his pocket, pulled out that note, and he said, "I'll read that thing now." He opened it up, and it said, "Pastor, you're standing on my oxygen tube." Bummer. I just wanted you to hear the story about old Fred, the fireman. The arsonist called the devil is trying to burn the Word of God. The arsonist called the devil is trying to burn our churches. I believe the arsonist called the devil is trying to burn our homes. Jeremiah 51, verse 30, it says, "The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to flight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed them. They have burned her dwelling places." The word dwelling places is equal to homes. You live in a dwelling. The homes were being burned. And people were being burned in those homes. Folks, I believe in America, we are burning that sacred institution called the home. Oh, what's wrong with us? The home ceases to be important anymore. People check into a home and we live like it's a hotel and not a home. We don't sit around the family table anymore and don't have family devotions anymore, and we don't respect one another in the home anymore. Let me tell you something. Young people, you're to obey your mom and dad. There's to be an element of respect between husband and wife, and the home is still important. And it doesn't matter how much Hollyweird makes fun of the home, and they mock men. You look on all the shows and they mock men and turn them into fools. That's not how God sees it, and that's not how God wants it to be. And then they take the alternative lifestyles and they're making it if that is normal in a home, and it is not. They're burning the home. We've allowed the devil to burn the church and burn the Bible's influence, and now our homes are being burnt by this wickedness, by the arsonist, the devil. There's hatred in our homes that ought not to be there. There is bitterness in our homes that ought not to be there. There is disloyalties between husbands and wives that ought not be there. There is a wickedness and a godlessness. And let me tell you something. If our homes are going to be messed up, our country is going to be messed up. We need a revival in the churches across America, and we need a revival in our homes across America. We're getting ready to have our youth conference. God wants America back. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it till the day I die. The answer for America is not found in the White House. The answer in America is found in the church house, and the answer in America is found at your house. We need revival in our homes. We need dads to lead their families to get to church and to go soul winning and to live right and to separate. We need moms to back dads as they do so. We need young people to believe right, to do right, to act right, to live right. That's what we need. America's getting burned. The wickedness of the devil, that arsonist. Not only that, I think the arsonist called the devil is trying to burn our children. Trying to burn our children. I'm about to read to you a story in the Bible. I would encourage you someday to take a good look at it. It's an interesting story. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 31, it says, "They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire." These people had become so wicked that they had begun having fire sacrifices using their own children. And folks, America is not far from it. We have allowed the devil to burn our Bible and burn our churches and burn our homes. I'm going to promise you, as a result of it, we're burning our children and we're burning the next generation. We're destroying them. I don't think I fear for me, but I fear for my children and I fear for the next generation if somebody doesn't shake this country for God and if we don't have a revival. Some of the trash, do you understand how far from God America has grown in the last 20 or 30 years? Let me tell you something. There's some of you, if you really love your kids, you need a revival. You personally need a revival. If you love your kids, you need to get right with God. You better get something straight, because your kids are going to live in a country that is going to be a terrible, wicked, vile mess. And you think it's bad now. But your kids are not going to have revival if you don't have revival. And we need to do what we can to keep that wickedness from burning our children. Our children. We now have security guards and metal detectors in our public school, and it's normal. The suicide rate among youth is soaring. We let them raise themselves. No discipline. I hear parents do this all the time. Don't do that again. If you do that again, you'll get in trouble. And then a minute later, don't do that again. If you do that again, you'll get in trouble. Don't do that again. You do that again, you'll get in trouble. Don't do that again. If you do that again, you'll get in trouble. Do you really think they're listening? You can ask my children, did your dad mean it? I didn't lie to them. If I said don't do that again, they knew I meant don't do. Matter of fact, I usually said it like that. I look them right square in the face. I say, don't do that again. Do you understand, Daddy? Too bad some of you parents weren't raised that way. Folks, don't let your kids go the way of the world. Don't let that happen to you. Keep them in the right kind of a church. Keep them in the right atmosphere. Train them and teach them. My, the arsonist called the devil, he's burning the Bible. He's burning the church. He's burning our homes. And thereby, he's getting to our children. Boy, listen, I realize that I get loud. And I realize that I preach things that, listen, you're not going to hear the kind of things I preach on television. They're not going to do that. I want to tell you something. I want to warn you. I want to give you some advice. You need to keep your children in a church where the pastor's not afraid to stand up and throw a fit about sin. You ought to keep your children in a church where the pastor will stand up and say something like this. Young people, you should not have sex out of wedlock. You keep your hands off of each other until you're married. You won't find that most places. You say, preacher, you try to take all our fun away. No, I'm trying to keep you from getting pregnant out of wedlock, and I'm trying to keep you from breaking your mom's heart and breaking your dad's heart. I'm trying to keep you from getting some disease. Now, I realize that's not real popular, but I am going to tell you that the devil is trying to burn our kids. You need a pastor that'll say that rock and roll's of the devil, and you need a pastor that'll talk about liquor being sin and drugs being sin and sodomy being sin. You need somebody that'll say that for the sake of your kids. Don't take them somewhere where the preacher has lace on his underclothes. You know, if you love somebody, you don't want them to get burnt by fire. You might not take my honesty and straightforwardness as love, but I love you, and I want to help you, and I want to help your children, and I don't want your children's heart to be broken, and I don't want your heart to be broken. But the devil, if he's burning the Bible, and he's burning our churches, he's burning our homes, he's wanting our children. Wickedness burneth as a fire. Its lust is combustible and will explode in your face. Its smoke fills the lungs of our families and suffocates the love out of them. Its flames bring first-degree burns to our fingers, our hearts, our ears, and our minds. It scorches men's dreams. It brings our minds to ashes. It burns our joy. It scorches our happiness. It melts people's lives. It incinerates the work that we do. It causes smoke damage to our vision, to the point that we can't see straight to make good decisions. Its flames eat away at our successes. It scars our memories. It cooks the life out of our relationships. It will blister your joy. Its smoldering threatens more damage and heartache into your life. Its fumes will fill your lungs to the point that you can't seem to breathe in life. Wickedness burneth as a fire. Don't let it destroy you. Wickedness is like a fire. The arsonist called the devil, he also is trying to burn our consciences. Our consciences. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What's it talking about? Burnt. A burnt conscience. Seared to where it no longer functions properly. Seared so that it's not affected anymore. Has the devil burnt your conscience to the point that it doesn't bother you anymore? What sin is in your life, but it doesn't bother you anymore? You know, for some, I used to get up and preach on a particular sin, and you were committing it, and you were bothered by the preaching. You're convicted by it. But you know what? You've ignored it long enough. You put it off long enough. The devil has seared your conscience, and it doesn't bother you a lick. You live on in that sin. You're not bothered by it. Does the siren of my preaching alarm you to the danger of the fire of wickedness that's in your life? Or do you hear the siren, and it doesn't affect you at all? Think about it. I raise my voice. Indeed, I do. Why? I'm fighting fires. You know, listen. Have you ever seen a fire engine, and when they turn on their siren, it sounds like this? It's a little louder than that, isn't it? Thank you. Yeah, that fire engine means business, doesn't it? You make a lot of criticisms toward your pastor, but just so you know, I do mean business. Yeah, this isn't a game to me. I'm not playing a game. We're not playing a religious game. There is a fire, and we've got to do something about it. And I may cry aloud, and I may turn the siren on from time to time, but I love you, and I just don't want to see our Bible burnt. I don't want to see our church burnt, and I don't want to see our homes burnt, and I don't want to see our children burnt, because I know what fire will do. Watch your conscience, though. Has your conscience been seared? Does it not affect you anymore? You know, are you sitting in here right now, living in sin? You know you are, but you feel like you're just getting away with it, and it's all okay. If your conscience is to that point, you're living in danger. You may be living in danger. You may burn like you would have never dreamed when the devil really gets a hold of you. Hey, do you avoid God? Do you avoid God's house? I wish you could all experience, but I guess I don't. You got to watch people when they're not right with God avoid me. Can I tell you something? If you're not right with God, fake me out. Don't avoid me. Boy, if you were ever a preacher, you would understand it. Listen. I think the devil tries to burn our conscience. The arsonist called the devil. I'm going to make one more point and we're finished. The arsonist called the devil is trying to burn the souls of men. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What's hell? That's the place of eternal fire. There is a devil. He's real. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 18, it is made very clear, wickedness is as a fire. I went through the Bible and I looked at the things that were destroyed by fire. I found God's Word. I found God's churches. I found homes. I found children. I found consciences. And you know something? That pretty well sums it up. I think the devil's out to destroy those things and thereby sending a whole lot of people in our nation, in our state, in our county, in our community, in our neighborhood to hell. Because we lose the spiritual influence of God and God's Word and God's church and our homes. Let's not let that happen. Let's continue to be a fire station. Let's keep those fire buses running. Let's stay on the firing line for the Lord. Wickedness is like a fire. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, we welcome you, we invite you, and we plead with you to get saved. Is there anybody here that would say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven." Would you raise your hand and I will pray for you? Anyone at all? Then might I say, take to heart the challenge. If you love your country, if you love your family, if you love your kids, if you love those things, get yourself close to God. Get yourself right with God. Wickedness will burn up our most treasured possessions. We're not talking about your jewelry. We're talking about the people. Who here would say, "Pastor, I've listened to the sermon. It has challenged my heart. It has challenged my life. I can make a decision about something in my life based on this sermon, and God has spoken to me." Will you raise your hand and let God see your hand? There are hands up all over the place. You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. Maybe you need to come and get on your knees for a second and just tell the Lord, say, "Lord, I want to fight the fire. I want to fight that wicked fire in my family, in my marriage, in my home. I want to be a part of the preservation of that truth of the Bible and the right kind of a church." If you need the altar, I want you to come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Will you come? You need the altar for a moment. Teenagers, you need the altar for a moment. Hey, let me open the invitation even a little further. We have a youth conference coming up. Maybe you need to come and pray for our conference. Pray for some revival among our teenagers. Come pray. Hey, there are other churches, I promise you, they're coming hungry. They're coming because they want encouragement. They want to be challenged. Wickedness as a fire. You say, I'm going to buy my children some nice clothes. I hope you do, and I hope you can. But let me tell you something far more important than giving your kids designer clothes. You better get them in the right kind of a church, and you better give them a godly mom and a godly dad, and you better get that Bible out and believe it in your family. Nice clothes won't salvage your children. Wickedness as a fire. They burnt the Bible. They burnt churches. They burnt homes. The burning of the family. The burning of the children. The burning of the conscience. Wickedness will burn us up. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. Just as I am, without one plea. I would say this as you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. When you come to youth conference this week, get ready. I think there's going to be some very strong preaching. Usually I put it this way. If you're going to be a griper, a complainer, and a whiny baby, stay home. Thank you, Sarah. You can look at me, which usually causes people to come out just to see. But I think we'll have some good preaching. I think we'll have some great preaching. And I believe this. I believe the kind of preaching that we heard tonight, not because I delivered it, but because of the truth of it, because of the pungency of it. If America would get back to that kind of truth, we could salvage our country.